You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Correct.
Vince, play the theme song.
Oh, okay. What you think? Don't hesitate to brass it on. Brass it on. Watch your thong. Doomed to fail or possibly go on too long. Watch your thong. Brass it on. If you like it, tell your friends to pass it on. Brass it on. Watch your thong. As soon as Joe and Tony's thoughts are gone.
Today we're going to be talking about the third serial of the 14th season of Doctor Who, The Deadly Assassin, which consists of four episodes that aired from October 30th, 1976 to November 20th, 1976.
True facts!
And I want to give a special shout out to Bisexual Brigadier for purchasing this DVD for us.
Hey, thanks!
But you can follow her on Tumblr at bisexualbrigadier.tumblr.com. And today we have a returning guest. Can you guess who it is?
I can't.
Who is it?
It's not Ray Friesen, who could not make it today.
Aw, poor Ray.
He had a lot of life stuff, and some of that was our life stuff, too. We all went on vacation together, and that, like, ate up all of our time.
It was amazing, though.
It was a lot of fun. It was a Douglas Adams convention thing. Out in the woods, and there was card games and lots of bugs.
When everyone's been like, what did you do this weekend? And it's like, I went to a convention, or I just went camping, or I just went out to the middle of nowhere and drank a whole bunch.
All three are accurate.
It was somewhere in the middle of those three things.
So it's just a big group of people that used to go to a Douglas Adams forum. Our guest today also frequented that Douglas Adams forum, but they did not join us in the camping.
I do not camp.
To be fair, Chris Cherry, previous guest, was also there. He does not camp, but he had a lot of fun. Because it's not really camping.
There's air conditioning and showers.
Yeah, well, I don't travel to another country to sort of camp.
That's also fair.
That is fair.
Some people did, though.
Well, the next one's going to be in the UK.
UK. So,
UK 2020.
So come to that one.
I mean, that's not a real thing yet, but I think if we say it enough times, Amy will make it happen.
Yeah, that's going to happen. I want it to happen. It was like the best weekend ever. Anyway, Vincent Yale is here.
Hi.
Thanks for that new re-edition of the theme song.
You're welcome.
What inspired it?
I've been setting up all this looping gear in my bedroom, and I thought I'd use it.
Yeah, I don't understand any Facebook post you ever make now. When you're posting about, like, equipment and stuff, and I read them all, and I don't know why, because it's nonsense to me. Like, you had some post about an L pad?
The speakers behind me are very hissy. They go like, shh. And it's a bit annoying, and I think it's because the signal from the amp is too strong. So I need to weaken that signal, and that's what an L pad is for, I think. Because I don't know. I just looked this stuff up, and I haven't understood it yet. So I'm working on that. I might need multiple stereo L pads because I might have to double wire them because I can't find the 4-ohm one. I have to use the 8-ohm one, and if you double wire it, you can use it, but then it's mono. So you have to get two. It's very confusing.
If you understand a word that was just said and you can help Vince out, then, you know, let us know.
Oh, yeah, right in.
Hit me up on Twitter.
Solve his L-pad problems because no one else knows.
Yeah, I don't know what an L-pad is. I just...
Is that the patch of skin on your elbow?
Ew.
The L-pad? Like the rough bit?
I think it actually came out after the iPad. I just say the alphabet real quick in my head to make that joke.
Yeah. There was the iPad, and then there was the J pad and the K pad,
and then there was the M pad, and then they went back to the L pad. It was really weird.
It was very confusing.
And then there was the L pad S, and then everybody went bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
So what's been going on in your life, Vince? Anything cool going on?
Moving the looping gear around has been going on. I've also been doing some writing exercises for fun and no profit.
I am familiar with that.
I've been low on lyrics, so I haven't been writing much of that. And that's why I've been trying to write other stuff. And I've also been doing a lot of research on subjects that I might potentially want to write about at some point when I feel more confident.
I know some of those things, but let's talk about Doctor Who.
Let's do it.
Let's dive
Does
in.
That you have to say that now because you're in that chair.
Yeah, I have to take control of the podcast.
It's normally me.
That's what the person on the left has to do.
So Sarah Jane disappeared out of nowhere. Like, I was not ready for Sarah Jane to not be on the show anymore.
We didn't know.
Yeah, we didn't know.
Like, sometimes we get a heads up about these things, and somehow we managed not to, and it was heartbreaking.
I had it in my head that Sarah Jane was going to be on for, like, 5 years or something.
Yeah, same. I knew it was getting, like, she had been on long enough that, like, it was getting to be time for her to go, but there was, like, the rest of my brain was like, nope, it's going to be Sarah Jane forever. Sarah Jane for life.
In my head, it was like, she just got there. What the fuck? Like, is this it? Is this the episode where the thing happens?
It's what, 3.5 seasons? Something like that? Because she technically started with 3.
3.
Wasn't she on for like half a season or something with 3? I don't even know. Like, it's gone by so quickly.
I know.
I think she has the longest time span. Like,
well, yeah, but
years. But not like most episodes.
Yeah, because those episodes flew by, and I felt like Jamie and Zoe, I felt like they, both of them together, were on longer than Sarah Jane. They probably weren't, but that's what they felt like. Maybe it's because I binged a bit, but, like, I just feel like Sarah Jane just came and went.
I enjoyed her while she was here, though.
Is there a reason why she left the show?
I don't really know. I think she was just... She actually stayed longer than she was going to. She was supposed to be out by the end of last season, and she stuck around for a little bit. Because she's like, oh, this one sounds fun. I'll stick around for that one.
Because I don't know how long are we going to be companionless for.
I think it's just this serial.
This is the first serial, by the way, The Deadly Assassin. The first and maybe the only classic Doctor Who serial without a companion or a companion surrogate.
Oh, dang. And it's like a rough one. Like, that's a rough thing to go through all on your own. Poor Doctor.
By the way, do we talk about the Master? Last time the Master was on the show... I was on the podcast.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, wow.
I've known since like this. I planned this. I planned to be on 2 Master serials in a row.
That was your master plan?
That was my master plan.
They call him Master when he's like, when you first see him, but he's all crispy-fied. He's all deep fried.
He looks slimy and gross.
And he looks so smelly. It's rare that I look at a screen and think, that guy looks really smelly. But that guy looks really smelly.
I did know. I had, like, as soon as he popped up on screen, I was like, oh, that's the Master. I've seen Crispy Master before. I've seen reference of this. But I couldn't tell if they were playing it as a reveal, because they also did credit him.
He's somehow both crispy and juicy.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We don't like it.
And I think that's what adds to the smell.
He would be at home in a Kentucky Fried bucket.
Ugh.
In a sewer.
That's been there for, like, months.
Kentucky Fried Sewer Master.
Oh, gross.
We'll get to him.
Yeah.
But that's what his deal is. That's what he looks like. It's Crispy Master.
Played by Peter Pratt.
Really?
Sure. I looked it up. But
can we talk about, like, the mask? Its eyes creep me out, man.
The thing is, it looks distinctly fake, but effective somehow. Like, you look at it and you go, that looks fake, but at the same time you go, that looks genuinely creepy.
Yeah, like, I don't want to spend too much time looking at it, or I'll throw up a little.
You're like, well, that's just wrong. It doesn't feel right, and it makes me uncomfortable.
What did happen to him in his last episode?
He just ran off.
So why is he all crispy?
We don't know. It doesn't get explained.
I thought there was just something I was forgetting. We don't know? He's just
we
all
don't
crispy?
Know. It's not explained. I think it's been explained in, like, expanded shit, but it just, he's crispy now.
Oh, man. That's embarrassing. Like when somebody hasn't seen you for a long time. And like,
and then you're burnt crisp.
And then you're extra crispy and you're like, this sucks. I wanted to be all hot the next time they saw me.
Well.
But instead I'm sewer chicken.
Well, you know, once you're hot, you know, it goes a little too far and then you're crispy, you know, it happens.
All right. So let's talk about the episode. Episode 1, which I have titled The Pyrodian Renegade.
Oh, man. Oh, man. There's so much shit. There's so much shit. This serial is lore as fuck.
I have titled it Killed by Death. Wait, that's a Buffy episode. The Murderous Killer.
Okay, so about that, the deadly assassin. Robert Holmes, who wrote this serial, gets a lot of flack for this title. Because it's
redundant.
A tautology is what they called it.
It is a tautology, yes.
He says, no, it's not. There's plenty of incompetent assassins.
So he's going to fight this one. He's going to double down, huh?
Yep.
All right.
It was originally going to be called The Dangerous Assassin. And he was like, nah, that doesn't sound good. It's The Deadly Assassin.
Could have just been The Assassin. Would have been fine, but it doesn't sound Doctor Who-y enough. You got to have an adjective.
Or it could be The Assassin of Death.
Yeah. It could have been The Deadly Assassin of Death.
Also, killing a Time Lord might not always be that deadly.
You could technically assassinate a Time Lord without killing them.
Because of regeneration and shit.
Because of Time Lord nonsense.
How many shots were fired?
Was it 6 shots or only 5?
Well, my thing is, was it 1 shot or was it 2 shots?
I think it was 2, right? Like, the doctor fired one.
No, did he?
Yeah.
Because there's this idea that, I mean, this has come up in New Who, the idea that if you kill a Time Lord, if you shoot a Time Lord and then shoot him again before the regeneration happens, they're dead.
Well, I assume these are Time Lord guns, specifically designed for stopping regeneration nonsense.
Also, we don't know how many of them are, like, in their last...
Oh, yeah, I also assume that, like, all those motherfuckers are old.
Why do Time Lords make Time Lord guns? That seems like a bad idea to be like, I'm a Time Lord, I'm gonna... Oh, wait, humans do that.
Yeah, that's just the way of things.
People just make things that could kill you. Like, I'm just gonna make this thing that could kill me. Hope nobody kills me with it. As, like, a survival thing, wouldn't it be smarter to go, I'm just not gonna make this thing that could kill me?
People are dumb.
Nobody ever thinks it's gonna get them.
But the only thing that could stop a bad Time Lord with a gun is a good Time Lord with a gun. Wait, every bad guy with a gun thinks they're the good guy with the gun.
There's just too many guns, if you ask me.
Yeah.
All right.
Even if they're transparent, which is a pretty neat design.
Yeah, they do look way cool.
They're like these acrylic things.
I want to say, when this episode starts, we get some scrolling Star Wars text.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing. I completely forgot about that.
Not quite Star Wars text. It's more like they wrote it on a cylinder and turned it.
It was really cool.
It was different.
It didn't really add anything to the episode, but it was cool.
I'm telling you, it lets you know that this is gonna be a lore AF episode.
This episode feels like a finale.
Yeah, it's just
or
like,
a season opener or something. Like, but FYI, it's like directly in the middle of the season, which is weird.
We're about to establish some shit.
Yeah, this is the Doctor Who movie.
We start in the interior of the TARDIS, which I still like a whole bunch.
Yeah, this TARDIS set is like the best. I love it a lot. It feels very homey.
The console is very tiny.
Yeah. It's like also like a desk.
Yeah, it doesn't have the thing in the middle that goes up.
That's the little true. Rotor.
Still like it though. Like I said, it feels very homey.
It feels like he's got Werther somewhere in there. And like a box of cigars that you're not allowed to touch. I might be thinking of something very specific.
Sounds like a grandfather thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a den. There should be like a big leather chair in there that you're like not allowed to sit in.
And the first thing that happens after the scrolling text somewhere inside the TARDIS is a bunch of confusing shit happens all at once.
This episode just starts right in the middle there.
The scanner's turned on and there's like the camera is like rushing through all these Time Lords who are like smacking the camera, and the doctor's holding his head and going, ah, and then he shoots a guy.
It's weird.
That's in the beginning.
Then he just like falls down and is like, huh, that was peculiar. But the TARDIS arrives outside the capital of Gallifrey, and he's like, someone's gonna assassinate the president. I gotta stop it. Even though he had this vision and it was him doing it, did he just assume he was just taking the role of the assassin and he wasn't the actual assassin?
I don't know. know. Or maybe he was like, you know what? Maybe like it is me, and I'll just give everyone a head start in figuring it out.
Well, you know that song by Incredibad / The Lonely Island from before they were on SNL? The song that's called I Think I Might Have Killed the President?
That's exactly what happens here.
I think that might be based on this serial. Specifically the first part.
There's a later part that's based The Dark Knight is based on, but we'll get there. The Time Lords sort of circle the TARDIS and sort of talk about how old and obsolete it is, which offends the Doctor.
He pats the console and is like, don't listen to the mean men.
And he finds out that it's Presidential Resignation Day, which is the official day that the president resigns.
Which doesn't make much sense. Why would you assassinate someone who's resigning?
There must be foul things afoot. Very foul, smelly things.
Like hookah?
Yeah.
Actually, hookah smells really good sometimes.
The Doctor just starts putting together a hookah.
Well, he mentioned where he got it from. Constantinople. It's also known as Istanbul.
I've heard that.
They changed the name. But that's nobody's business but the Turks.
Thank you.
I don't know what you guys are referencing.
Yes, you do.
I do. They could indeed possibly be large. Large people.
They could be large people.
The band.
Suspected tall folks.
But I thought, like, when he was putting it together, my mind immediately went hookah, but also because it's Doctor Who, I was like, they're using a hookah as, like, some kind of sci-fi thing. But no, it's just a hookah.
Yeah.
And then one of the Time Lords, there's, like, a bunch of guards, and there's one guy who's, like, in control of stuff, and he's Castellan? I believe is how you pronounce it. I heard Castavan.
I was going to say.
I heard it Castrelan. I swear they pronounced it like 7 different ways, but I think it's Castellan.
To be fair, if you misheard it, there's a good chance it's because somebody in the show mispronounced it.
That's
so
fair.
So I wouldn't stress out too much.
Castellan gloves, drugs, gloves.
And he looks up the like TARDIS or whatever, and then it's like, there's a criminal in there, so be careful.
Ah, man, they've got the good Time Lord collars. You know the ones. The ones that are so good.
There's a lot of good outfits.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good set dressing, too. For, like establishing Gallifrey, they went all out.
Council people have, like, bullet helmets and big collars. They look like the thing that spits the acid on Newman in Jurassic Park.
The idea of describing things is to, like, give a visual picture of someone who's never, like, seen what we are talking about.
Right.
So you just go ahead and
dead on nailed it.
You just go ahead and drop some references to other shit in there. That's fine.
But I think people who listen to this podcast have probably watched the serial.
Not necessarily. I know some people that listen to this podcast without watching the serials.
Those are just friends of yours who you make listen to the podcast.
I don't make anybody listen to it. They just do it because they love me.
Yeah, I'm sure most people know, if they haven't seen this serial, they're familiar with the Time Lord collars.
They're so...
Yeah, they're so oof.
And the guards, the sort of like lower level Gallifreyans, they have like cool retro future helmets and capes.
Those guys reminded me of like Adam Strange from DC Comics, but with a cape instead of a jetpack. And like I kept thinking like that guy needs his own sci-fi serial because that's a hero. Type.
He looks like a superhero. It's great.
And when I say Adam Strange, I don't mean Adam Strange from the series Krypton, because that guy just wears a hoodie and a baseball cap, and I'm like, that's not Adam Strange. Adam Strange wears a ridiculous red outfit and a jetpack. Come on, get it right, David Goyer.
What is with this obsession of just giving superheroes hoodies?
Well, I mean an actual, just a gray hoodie, like a regular gray sweatshirt hoodie, and a baseball cap that says NY on it. Or no, it's D, I think. I think he's from Detroit, so I guess it's some sort of a sports team from there. That's Adam Strange in the TV series Krypton, which, by the way, is an Adam Strange show. I mean, Adam Strange is a character in it. He's not the main character. He's kind of the secondary lead. The main character is Superman's grandpa or something.
A very low interest in it, to be honest.
Yeah, I've seen a few episodes. It's not that interesting. It's David Goyer, so, you know.
But they're gonna get this criminal. Okay, the Doctor. They get a key, they open the TARDIS, they walk in, and, like, there's smoke.
There's a Doctor shape that is supposedly smoking, but it's just a bunch of his stuff all piled up.
With a note on it. They all sort of go around it, and the Doctor sneaks out. But he immediately gets caught by one of the Adam Strange-looking dudes. But the guy that catches him, like, immediately gets shot by this hooded figure that we don't really get to see, who just runs off. And the Doctor's like, Oh, shit, I'm going to get blamed for this.
The doctor calls after him and is like, excuse me, sir.
So the doctor thinks really quick. He goes to the elevator, presses the button, jumps out of the elevator, and hides. So the other Time Lords come up, find the dead body, and are like, oh, he's taking the elevator. He could be anywhere. And also, we should, like, look for him because he killed a dude. Though he didn't.
He's a criminal.
He's getting hella framed.
Oh, by the way, framed is an Earth expression.
That's one of my favorite lines in this serial.
Yeah, because, like, they're all speaking English and saying Earth expressions all over the place, but that specific thing, you have to explore. You have to go, oh, yeah, that's a thing that Time Lords don't know about. They don't frame people. They don't know about that. They don't have a word for it. It's not part of their culture to frame people. Everybody who's ever been accused of a crime was guilty of it.
Fun fact about this serial, by the way. This is the only episode or serial where all of the characters are the same race. They're all Gallifreyans.
Oh.
There are no humans or anything else. So why are they all speaking English?
Look.
The TARDIS is translating for us. I think that's always the implication.
That's why we need a companion, right?
Well, we are the companion.
Right now, it's us.
The TARDIS is breaking the fourth wall with its translation matrix.
Don't you remember with, like, the rule with the Weeping Angels is, like, you can't, they can't move if you can see them. And half the time, they can't move because you can see them, the viewer. And then when they stop doing that, they stop being as good.
Yeah. The second time they were used, I think, or maybe the third. I think it was the second time. Do you get to see them move and it's like, no, that's not as good?
That's just why. They just gotta do it this way or it's not as good.
But they start like reading off some facts about the Doctor, which is all stuff we kind of know. But they mention the Celestial Intervention Agency.
God, that made me so
the
angry.
The CIA.
Because they say CIA first and they're like, CIA, you mean the Celestial Intervention Agency? Shut up!
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, it's a thing that they're trying to sell as, I think, as a joke, but it's a thing. Like, it's an actual canon thing that they're doing, but they're also trying to do a joke, and it doesn't land as a joke, and it doesn't work as an actual thing. So it just ends up in this weird space between being a thing and being a joke, and it's like, don't do that.
I believe at one point they say that they think the Doctor might be a CIA agent, right?
Yeah.
They should have just called it something else.
Anything else. It does explain, like, why all these, like, top council Time Lords, like, don't know anything about the Doctor. And you're like, haven't they been sending him places? Like, haven't they been having him kind of interfere in things? So it makes sense that there's kind of, like, a shadowy Gallifreyan agency that does these things in top secret. It just should be called literally anything else.
Yeah, we get most of this info from Castellan, who, by the way, has been on the show, like, twice before. He was in Enemy of the World and The Mutants. Don't remember him in either one.
Same character or different character?
Different character.
We've never had this many Time Lords before in our life.
Though the Chancellor Goth, who we'll get to later, has played a Time Lord in the War Games and was a Thal in... it wasn't very good. It had the invisible creatures in it. Spyrodians or whatever.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he was a Thal in that. A lot of people theorize that he's the same Time Lord as he was in the War Games. It doesn't really matter.
It changes nothing.
Did he have a name in the War Games?
No, he didn't have a name in the War Games. None of the Time Lords did, I believe. But the Castellan gets the letter that the Doctor left on his dummy.
It's sealed. It's got the seal of Rassilon. It's not sealed. It does on his letter.
Does it? I don't think the seal of Rassilon was on his letter. There was a seal on it. They're like, this is from the Pyrodian chapter.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a Rassilon seal, though.
Was the Pyrodian thing not the seal of Rassilon?
No,
because
Rassilon
was a Pyrodian. Pull up a picture.
And while you're looking that up, I'm just going to explain where the word assassin comes from. It comes from the Hashashin. They would smoke hashish, and that would calm them down, and they would kill people. They were Hashashin. And that's where the word hashish is, that's the root, I think, and the word assassin comes from that. So the word assassin comes from hashish.
Okay, so yes, the seal of Rassilon is on the letter, but it's kind of hard to see. But that's it. That's the first time we officially it's not the first time we've seen the seal of Rassilon in the show, but the first time that it's officially been the seal of Rassilon.
Been connected to Rassilon. This is it. This is the moment that we've been waiting for.
Since we started
also,
this
Also, that Gallifreyan is nice.
Yeah, that Gallifreyan looks... It doesn't look like like what I imagine Gallifreyan.
Well, it's not
is
circular
now.
Gallifreyan.
Yeah.
But I imagine circular Gallifreyan's hard to scribble notes in.
So there's two different types of Gallifreyan.
I mean, yeah, that's why it's specified that it's circular. Otherwise, why would you?
Good point. But the letter basically says, I'm the doctor, someone's going to try to kill the president, and I'm going to try to stop that person from killing the president. So maybe you should, too.
So maybe do something about that.
And this is when they say that he's from the Pyrodian chapter, and he's a renegade, so that's why so the Pyrodian.
This is like the first chapter that we get. Do we know?
I don't think there are any other chapters mentioned in this.
In
the show.
Okay. Because I know at least some others exist. Does that come from novels?
I think it comes from
I know there's
stuff.
One that likes plants. That's a thing that I know. There's one chapter that likes plants. I don't remember what they're called.
It begins with a C, right?
Yeah.
Ceruleans or something?
Yeah, I don't know. And I know people, I know that there are people who care about it like they care about their Hogwarts house. So we gotta figure out what chapter we're all in.
Nah. Vince, what chapter are we?
Well, I believe that the sorting hat is evil, so I won't touch that one.
Vince will not partake in that nonsense.
What a Ravenclaw thing to say.
Now, the thing is, I don't know if I've said this before on the podcast, but let me tell you about Harry Potter. There's a big gaping story problem in Harry Potter, and that is if you actually pay attention to the story, everything that you find out about the Sorting Hat points to the Sorting Hat is the evil mastermind behind everything that's ever gone wrong at Hogwarts, and the whole culture of like just the toxicity that's boiling within Slytherin and just putting people together in these social groups, it's all orchestrated by the Sorting Hat. The Sorting Hat is also connected to Dumbledore. Dumbledore is a puppet. If you watch everything that Dumbledore does, he's fucking useless. Everything he does is fucking stupid. And the reason is he's working for the Sorting Hat, and he doesn't know that the Sorting Hat is an evil mastermind. He's a total patsy. He's just going with it, and the Sorting Hat is an evil, evil monster. The Sorting Hat is the reason why Voldemort became Voldemort. He's the reason why fucking Draco Malfoy is a fucking dick. He wanted to put Harry Potter in Slytherin so that he would be affected by that toxicity, because he knows that Harry Potter has all this sort of boiling toxicity underneath that could come out and become this thing if he's just put in that social group. So he's trying to orchestrate this horrible shit. Here's the thing. It never goes anywhere. I've watched all the Harry Potter movies. I haven't read the books, but I've seen all the movies, and the Sorting Hat is never revealed to be the villain, and I'm so disappointed because it's right there. It's such a good twist, and it's built into the narrative, and fucking J.K. Rowling just doesn't see it. She writes all this stuff, and she's like, it doesn't even pay attention to what she's writing. And this motherfucker's a fascist. This fucking hat is a fascist and needs to be taken down. And nobody's doing anything about it. Harry Potter doesn't know. He doesn't care. Nobody knows. Everybody's like, yeah, fucking Sorting Hat. He's great. No. The Sorting Hat is the evil mastermind behind everything.
If that is the case, though, then why didn't the Sorting Hat put Harry in Slytherin?
Well, he tried. But the thing is that they get a choice. He tried to put Harry Potter in Slytherin, and Harry Potter was like, I don't want to be in Slytherin. And the Harry Potter was like, you got me. Okay, fine. Where do you want to be? That was like how it went, right? Because the hat was like, Slytherin. And the Harry Potter was like, I don't want to go to Slytherin.
So the hat has no real control then?
Well, it's moving the chess pieces, and it's doing its part. But it can't, obviously, it's just a fucking hat. It can't do everything. So it has to do other things. It has to lead Dumbledore to make terrible decisions, send the kids into dangerous situations and not do anything about it. Stuff like that.
I think that's giving Dumbledore too much credit for not just being a dick.
No, he's a moron. So anyway, Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. So the Doctor turns on the news, because he gets back to the TARDIS, turns on the news, and we get to see Runcible, which that's a great name.
I love, like, the Doctor's, like, oh, man, it's this asshole. Unbelievable.
They let him on TV?
The idea of the Doctor, like, seeing people that he, like, went to school with and being like, jeez, this asshole.
And that was like hundreds of years ago.
So basically the news program's a little bit of a what's happening. Someone's going to the president's going to resign. He'll announce a successor or whatever. People don't, I don't remember. I don't think the doctor's very happy about who the successor's going to be. Who they think the successor's going to be.
Goth.
Goth. That's the running theory, is that it's going to be Goth. But that's not, we don't know for sure.
No, he sees it and he's like, oh man, F that guy.
But I mean, that's what the Runcible's saying. It could be Goth. We're not sure.
Yeah.
It's
like, you know, watching the news.
Meanwhile, Goth shows up and examines the TARDIS and is like, eh, move it to a different room. Get it out of here and move it to the Capitol or whatever. And then there's a really cool effect where the TARDIS...
kind of checkerboards.
Move, yeah, checkerboards in. It's like... The doctor's like, what a way to travel. Do you think the doctor also went...
Absolutely.
Inside? That must have been weird.
Probably some of his organs are in like the slightly wrong place.
I mean, that's how the Time Lord's got two hearts to begin with. Now, I think I've mentioned before that my headcanon is that the Time Lords are from the people who were in that one serial where the people had the two hearts. What were they called? It was the Dominators. Who were the two-hearted people in the Dominators?
Carl and Lenny.
Right. Lenny and Carl from The Simpsons are the forefathers of the Time Lords. And they had sex in the Time Vortex, and they made a baby, and that was the first Time Lord.
That sounds legit.
I have a lot of questions.
I don't. All my questions have been answered.
Fair enough. Let's move on.
So the doctor gets out. And
steals some robes.
Steals some robes. Then exchanges those robes with another Time Lord.
Yeah, he got some fancy robes. He's like, these are too fancy.
No one will believe me wearing this shit. So then there's like this like comedy scene of these two old Time Lords just chit-chatting away. And then the doctor just like swaps out the coats, the robes. And he's like, what? He like puts it on. He's like, I didn't know what I was putting on.
Like these how do you not know? Mine? Like how the other guy
Larry, asked. You can't wear gold robes. What? You're going to be executed.
Hilarious.
But also the hooded figure that's been sort of creeping around meets up with, this is the first time we see him, the gooey master.
Oh, don't call him gooey.
The slimy.
The smelly master.
I don't think there's any adjective you can use that's not gross.
I mean, the thing is that, like, crispy has been agreed upon.
Well, he's not just crispy. He's crispy with sauce.
No. He's got a glaze. Let's call him Crispin.
Kentucky Fried Sewage.
There is no nice way of referring to him.
No, because he looks like garbage. What do you want? You can't nicely describe garbage.
I didn't know it was the master until you were like, oh, it's the master. So thanks.
Oh, sorry. Did I spoil that for you?
You spoiled it for me. Apparently he gets called master in that scene, but that could be...
He's being called master by what is like clearly a henchman.
Yeah, and henchmen call anyone master.
Yeah, I don't think it gets like. I don't think it gets confirmed until episode two, though he is credited in episode one as the master. So whatevs. So they are these large, what looked to be binoculars, but I later realized that was a camera. Which that is a terrible place to put a camera. I mean, it's a good place for like a wide shot of the area. But they're always filming down onto Runcible doing his, like, I'm hosting the news. You should have a camera, like, eye level for that. Yeah. You don't need one up in the balcony for interviewing people. That's dumb.
Oh, maybe it's a 3D camera and it's got special stuff where you can basically in the computer just move the camera as you want because it records the whole room.
Could be. Or they just have one camera and they're like, we're not moving this thing. It's really heavy. Have you seen it?
It's a Time Lord camera.
That camera is suspiciously large.
It's also hollow.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore.
Well.
It's full of
dude?
Dead person.
Yeah, the hooded figure comes up and takes him down. We don't know what happens to him at this point, but he's just gone. But he puts together one of the guns, those like see-through guns we were talking about earlier, puts his sights on the doctor. And then the doctor has a brief little chat with Runcible.
Who's not really at all interested in this conversation.
Well, he's like, hey, Runcible, remember me? And he's like, who? Oh, wait, you? Weren't you expelled?
Did you get a facelift?
He literally says facelift. And he's like, yeah, a couple.
I like the reaction he has to that, because it makes it sound like the Doctor regenerates much more quickly than other people. Mm. And it's kind of like other Time Lords are like, damn, like you have a problem, like slow down.
So I guess they can sort of recognize each other telepathically a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Which doesn't entirely make sense, because the Doctor also hides from somebody by just ducking down and pretending that his leg hurts in the same scene. So, anyway.
He was doing it psychically, too.
So, then Runcible's like, I don't know what's up with my cameraman. He's being real shit, and points up at the camera, again, on the balcony. And the Doctor looks up and sees the assassin with the gun. And so, the Doctor rushes to stop him. But he gets up there, and no one's up there. And the gun is just there. And instead of being like, oh, and then leaving or something,
he picks up the gun.
And looks right at the president with it. And then it looks like he shoots the president. Yep. And that's the cliffhanger. Murdered a dude.
It's a really weird moment that we've seen twice now.
Like, I thought there would be some difference when we got to it. No. But, I mean, he didn't really shoot the president. He was just looking at the president when he got shot. Also, like, I feel like once he got up there, I feel like the Doctor would be smart enough to go, oh, shit, trap.
It's a trap.
I'm being set up. I'm being what the Earth people called framed.
What the Earth people refer to as framed.
But that's the end of episode one. We are now into episode two, which I have called Article 17.
Okay, episode two is The Redundant Assassin, the same as episode one.
Perfect.
So some guards capture the Doctor and drag him down. They pull him down into the center, and he's like, oh, I thought the roof was going to fall on me, because I think that was in his vision. I didn't remember that being in the vision. Maybe it was. I don't remember.
It does happen.
But it does happen in episode four. So that was a nice bit of continuity or whatever.
So
nice bit of storytelling. The president is dead. They need to have a trial for the Doctor. But they also need to have an election to get the next president.
Because that's not how it normally works, right? The old president just is like, I picked that guy.
Carl, your turn. Every Time Lord is named Carl and Lenny, apparently, in my head. Carl, Lenny, and Larry.
Is there a Larry in The Simpsons?
Probably. That show's been on for 30 fucking years. There's Larry, Moe, and Curly.
Well, Moe is on The Simpsons.
That's true. But they say that the assassin needs to be tried and executed before the election happens.
They're just like, get this over quick. We know it was him. We caught him. Kill him so that people don't lose faith in the Time Lord leadership.
So they try to torture a confession out of the Doctor. He's held up in like this really cool looking set, like it's a cage, like dangling over nothing.
Yeah.
And they shoot him with a gun, and the Doctor's like, ah, he's like, will you confess? He's like, I confess that you're a bigger idiot than I thought you were.
What an ass.
Yeah. And they torture him some more. Then, what's his name? Dan Castellaneta.
He is on The Simpsons. Is this just a Simpsons podcast?
Honestly, it almost started out being a Simpsons podcast, because I wanted to watch all of The Simpsons, and then I was like, but I want to do something with Tony, and I was like, let's just do Doctor Who.
I would never have agreed to that. Not that I don't like The Simpsons, I just did the math.
It's fair, there's a lot of Simpsons.
And it's still going. But Castellan comes in, the Doctor's like, oh, good cop, bad cop, basically. I think he says hot and cold, but that's the same thing. And he's like, why would anyone want to assassinate a retiring president? What's the deal? Why would I wouldn't. He's like, well, maybe you have a grudge. And he's like, dude, I haven't been here in like ages. I don't know you fuckers. And then they tell him he has 3 hours to live?
They want to rush this through. You've got about 3 hours.
And that's when the Doctor says, vaporization without representation? That's not cool.
That's another joke.
That's an American reference, right? Taxation without representation?
Yeah.
It's a lawyer thing.
It's a lawyer thing?
It's a legal thing. Representation is a lawyer, right?
Yeah, but taxation without representation is specific to a specific American historical thing. I mean,
oh, is it? I don't know.
I'm not American, and I know that this was a thing.
The revolution.
It was between America and England. Was that the Boston Tea Party? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
How do I vaguely know this stuff, and I'm not even American?
Why are you surprised that I don't know something?
I can't believe you just said it's a lawyer thing.
Isn't it? I thought representation meant like a lawyer.
No taxation without representation means that people in America weren't being represented in the government, but they were being taxed. And they were like, fuck that, and threw a bunch of tea away.
Okay. Look, I don't know things.
God
what?
Damn. That's some basic ass shit.
I don't know it, okay? Like, there's been way more simple stuff that I don't know that has been brought up on this podcast.
It's like one of the famous American historical things, so much so that I, who am not American, have been to America once for, I think, less than a month. I know it, to some extent.
I was homeschooled, and I don't think the American education system is all that great on history.
I didn't learn it in the education system. I learned it just sitting in my fucking bedroom, listening to people talking.
I have never really, like, looked into history. It's not been a subject that interests me.
It's been referenced in pop culture.
Well, I don't know it! I don't know what you guys want me to do!
Talk show hosts talk about it.
I want you to I want you to retroactively know it.
It's the fucking Boston Tea Party, dude!
I know the Boston Tea Party!
Yeah! Taxation without representation was like it was the whole fucking slogan. It's the tagline for the Boston Tea Party.
I didn't know that. I knew about the Boston Tea Party. I didn't know about the slogan.
It was the thing they were mad about.
I know I like Ike. How about that? I know Don't Tread on Me. How about that?
What's Don't Tread on Me?
It was on the flag. Wasn't it like Benjamin Franklin did a flag? Somebody did a flag and it had Don't Tread on Me and a snake. And they're like, let's do that one. And everyone was like, that's fucking stupid. Let's put some stars and stripes on that shit.
I think you're getting two snakes mixed up. There was the one that said, join or die?
I don't know that one. I know Don't Tread on Me. Because it was in a cartoon I saw once. Yankee Doodle Cricket, I think was the name of it.
Yeah, there's two snakes. I don't know which one was that one. Because the other one was sliced up in pieces.
Huh, I don't know that one.
And it said, join or die.
Anyway.
Craig Ferguson has a tattoo of that one.
Huh. So, the doctor tells...
He got it when he became a citizen.
The doctor...
of the United States of America.
Damn it!
I did wonder if they were using, like, a lot of specifically American things to make the Time Lord seem more alien.
Like the CIA?
The Constitution. I mean, I know there are other constitutions, but it seemed like it was specifically... with the other references, the president and all that stuff, it seems specifically American.
Yeah, there seems to be a theme.
So, the doctor tells Castellan about his vision, the vision he had, and all that stuff, trying to be like, I didn't do it.
That's another Simpsons reference. Are you sure this isn't a Simpsons podcast?
I'm going to turn it into one. I've been watching The Simpsons. I'm actually like 2.5 seasons in.
Well, then you're in the good part.
So, Castellan thinks that the doctor is being framed, and that's where that framed thing happens.
This is where he explains to him what framed means. He doesn't have a frame of reference for it.
And okay. And he's having a conversation with this other guy who I don't remember his name, but he becomes like a major character for a while. Like they team up with him a lot. He's a guy that like explains technology for way too long. Like, almost every scene he's in, he's, like, explaining where they get the records for the people, the biogs. Is that what they call them, biogs? And he's like, there's a key, and there's a whole system, and you can't do this without this, and, like, it's very complicated and hard to fake, and it's... He explains it for, like, 20 minutes.
Was this before you started shortening biography to bio? Or is this just a Time Lord thing that's weird?
I think it's probably just a Time Lord thing that's weird. Maybe they thought it was American. So he says, like, to fake the thing, to, like, fuck with the system would take a genius. Castellan says it must not be anyone on the council then. But on Tish. So
there's a lot of, like, weirdly timed political jokes in this serial.
There's another one that's actually, like, kind of, like, too soon. But the doctor gets his trial, and he doodles through the whole thing.
He does very rude caricatures of everybody, which I imagine what all of his, like, school notebooks look like.
I do have to say, I feel like they show him doing it, but there's, like, I'm pretty sure he's tracing another picture so that he can draw it the way it looks. Because I could sort of see the outline underneath it. But anyway, it's still a good joke. And then, okay, so like the chancellor's leading the trial. And this one guy said, the doctor ran past him and said, they're going to kill him. Let me through. They're going to kill him. And then the chancellor's like, or did he say, I'm going to kill him?
Pretty sure he didn't say either of those things.
That's fair. But also, that's leading the witness.
Yep.
Damn it.
Yep, they got bad justice.
Objection.
That's a lawyer thing.
They're like, all right, cool. Well, I think we got this pretty much underway. And the doctor's like, hold on a second. Article 17. Article 17. I'm running for president. And they're like, ah, shit. You get immunity if you're running for president. Who made this fucking rule?
What kind of stupid country would have something like that as a rule?
So the trial is going to be adjourned until after the election. The Chancellor is not happy about this.
Yeah, why wasn't Trump on trial during the election?
Article 17.
Yeah. Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Is that an American thing? Or is that a lawyer thing?
No, you can be tried while running for office. There is such a thing as like immunity, but I don't know any of the rules about it.
I know there's diplomatic immunity in Lethal Weapon 2.
I mean, like,
but they're like, fuck you and shoot him in the head anyway.
What?
Well, he is a dick.
Yeah, like you can get immunity like in exchange for things. I don't know. It's some lawyer shit.
Anyway, doctor's like, I'm going to take this time to try and convince Castellan that I'm a good guy. Castellan's like, cool, let's team up.
Yeah, because Castellan just wants to know the truth.
I have to say, Castellan sometimes acts well, and sometimes I feel like he's really just reading it off of a cue card.
Yeah.
Because sometimes he's emoting, and sometimes he's just like, I'm just saying these lines that I have learned previously.
Those are probably, like, new lines that have just been written.
But, anyway, the master gets informed by the hooded figure about the whole Article 17 thing. The master has this whole monologue about how hate for the doctor, just hate in general, is what's keeping him alive.
I honestly feel like this is the first time he's kind of been portrayed that way.
Was hating the doctor?
Yeah, I mean, like, I've always really thought of them more as, like, frenemies. Like, when the Master first showed up, it was always kind of my headcanon that part of the reason why he did that was because he knew the Doctor was stuck on Earth and was bored. Like, a lot of his schemes were just to give, like, the Doctor something to do. And it seems like something very bad has happened since we last saw him. And now he's just genuinely very mad. But to me, this is like the first time we've ever seen him that way. Whereas before, it's always been kind of like cat and mouse, you know?
Yeah, they were friends, but with complications. Complicated friendship. And now it's apparently they're mortal enemies.
It feels like something very bad happened.
Yeah, and I think it might be something that either was done by the doctor or that the master thinks the doctor did. And I'm thinking it has something to do with the fact that the master is now extra crispy with sauce.
Do you think maybe he met the doctor, the doctor made him extra crispy? But it was a doctor, like,
it was like
a future doctor or something, yeah.
Maybe.
Could be. Could be the next doctor.
Didn't you say it was explained?
It probably is. I didn't, like, look up specifics.
I mean, it could be Jodie Whittaker who did it. Jodie Whittaker turned the first master into Chinese food.
I think it is explained in expanded stuff, but I don't know what that explanation is.
Oh, well, there's no canon. You can still do it.
It's true.
It's true.
You just have to show Delgado from the back of a stand-in.
It's just pushes him into some acid.
Just have, like, a scene of the doctor accidentally pushing someone you don't see the face into, like, a thing. And then, like, oh, no, what happened? And you just move on. And it's like, that was the moment.
It is really surprising that they didn't explain it in this episode. It was like, eh, he's just crispy for some reason. But the doctor and Castellan go back to the scene of the crime. He gets Castellan to shoot the seal. There's a seal of Rassilon. He's like, here, take this gun that was used, apparently, and shoot that seal over there. And he does, and it, like, he misses. He's like, it's off by a lot. He's like, yeah, these sights suck. Which, why do they suck? Why did the doctor know that that was going to be a problem?
Because he was trying, the reason why he had the gun in the first episode and he fired it is because he was trying to shoot.
The hooded figure?
Yeah, he was trying to shoot the assassin because he saw their gun, but it was way off. And so, like, the assassin still fired and he died. And the doctor was, like, holding the gun. He said, I couldn't have made that shot because the sights were all off. That's why I couldn't have made the shot when I tried to shoot the assassin. And they actually go back and they try to find, like, where his, like, hit the wall. But there wasn't enough damage to really prove.
Well, also, he's like, that's a good story, but it's not really evidence.
Yeah.
And also, like, the doctor could have just messed the sights up post.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what he says. He's like, that is convincing, but not convincing enough.
So, is the camera called the Panoptica? Is that what the camera is?
No, that's what the room is called.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Are you sure? Because that seems like a name for a camera that films the entire room so that you can afterward find the angles in some sort of a computer. That would be called a panoptica.
I mean, that's fair. But the panoptica is the room.
It might be panopticon, actually.
Oh, the panopticon opens is the name of the episode.
Yeah, there you go. Because that's what Castellan wants to do. He requests to open the Panoptica for investigation so that they can go and look for the thing.
That's a good... I like that. I like that a lot.
And in the same scene, Goth is like, when I'm president, I'm totally amending that Article 17 bullshit. They go in there and they ask Runcible, we want your camera footage because maybe we'll see this assassin and everything. So he's like, sure, I'll go get that. He goes up there as the doctor and everybody else is like examining, looking for the gunshots and stuff. And he goes up there and he opens the camera lid, screams and passes out. And they like rush up there and like while they're going up there, there's the hooded figure like messing with the camera footage, I guess, taking them out. Because they're like on little cylinders. And, but he doesn't get all of them before he has time to get out, but he gets out. And they run up there and they look inside of the camera and somebody has shoved a toy doll in it.
No, it's a person, and they're dead. Ah!
Master's up to his old tricks.
It's really funny because it's like an inherently like funny image, but also everyone's like, "No, he's dead
and shrunken." Like,
that's hilarious.
When was the last time we saw this technology?
The first episode with the Master, the Terror of the Autons.
Was it the one with the tower?
Yeah, Terror of the Autons. You were on that one.
That I was.
All of your episodes are, like, connected. It's weird.
Everything is connected.
It's clearly just a doll, though. It's not even, like, it doesn't even look like the guy that...
The clothes are
earlier.
Also, like, a little bit too big. I have to say, though, I'm a pretty big fan of this weapon.
But this is what tips the Doctor off that it is the Master.
Who they've never heard of before?
Is this the last appearance of the Master's shrinking weapon?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I certainly hope not.
Yeah.
We haven't seen it really in New Who, though, which is sad. They did bring back the masks, which is good.
That was my favorite part.
And it was really effective, too. For some reason, I didn't know it was him. I didn't know he was going to be back.
I figured it out, but Tony didn't.
I didn't
recognize him. And I'm the type of person who recognizes voices all the time. And I did not recognize his voice. To be fair, it had been years since I had heard his voice, but still.
But they want to get all the info on him, on the Master that they can. And they, like, they ask Runcible to go, process, like, there's one reel left in the camera, like, go process it. And he's like, this should be the one that, it's like, this should have the assassin on it. And he runs off to go get it. But he comes back with a giant spear in his back, saying, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And then falls over dead.
Which is the 10th Doctor's catchphrase.
Definitely feel like he should have regenerated from that.
I don't feel like the rules for regeneration have been fully set yet. Don't you have to be, like, connected to a TARDIS?
Oh, do you? Is there rules that ways you have to do to make it happen?
I think the TARDIS is involved, right? There's TARDIS energy.
I think it changes from writer to writer. I don't think they have, like, a set rule.
I'm pretty sure every regeneration of the Doctor has been in the TARDIS or connected to the TARDIS, other than 1 to 2, because that was Force.
Yeah.
Maybe they do regenerate Runcible. They take him off to another room and butts with him. But he dies first.
Alright.
It's not always immediate. And besides, the bad guy would have gotten away with the footage anyway. So it doesn't really matter.
I gotcha.
I don't think he would have seen any. Like, he wouldn't be like, it was a hooded guy. Who knows?
Well, maybe he wasn't quite dead yet.
So they find no record of the Master, so they're asking the Doctor. And the Doctor's like, he's almost as smart as me. And then a technology explainer guy explains how this, like, one machine predicts everything. And goes.
This is the Matrix, right? Does it refer to by that name?
I think so. Yeah, this is the Matrix.
Is that the second thing that a movie copied from the serial?
I mean, I think Matrixes have probably been around before.
Yeah, but this specific use of Matrix.
Yeah, possibly.
Because the idea of the Matrix, like, sticks around. This is a lore-establishing thing right here.
There's a lot of lore-establishing things. But the Doctor says that it did predict the assassination attempt, but the Master diverted it to him, and that's why he saw it. That's why he had the vision. So the Doctor is like, if the Master is using this Matrix thing or whatever, I should go inside of it? I don't remember his entire reasoning behind why he was going to go inside the living mind. Because they put dead people or dying people on it, right? And it, like, takes all their memories.
Yeah, basically, like, a brain is a computer. And they just put all of the knowledge from that brain into the computer and use that processing power.
And the Master's been utilizing that?
Yes.
So the Doctor's going to jump in there and figure out where the Master is.
He's going to see if he can, like, trace it back to him, figure out where he is. Yeah, like, the way you would trace a call or something. But not like that at all. Totally different.
So, the Doctor, they hook the Doctor up to this thing. He's going to go inside the living mind, which is similar to the human mind.
Yeah, only this time it's for real.
Yeah, there's no carnival.
The first thing we see is a variation of the title sequence? A little more rainbow colored, but it's that diamond shape. It whooshes, and then he winds up in a quarry, right?
Yeah.
Because that's where you go.
I could tell this episode was your favorite.
Yeah, I like when the show does weird shit, and the show's going to do some weird shit. He winds up in this quarry, there's evil laughter, and then a crocodile or an alligator. I don't know the difference.
I forget.
Either way, it's not real.
Yeah, it probably didn't actually look like either one, to be honest.
They're like, meh, meh. And then it appears and then disappears for no reason.
I think crocodiles have wider snouts. And there's something about the teeth as well.
Well, this was a puppet, so who knows?
Well, I mean wider snouts than alligators. I don't mean necessarily wider snouts than this puppet. Although I'm sure they do generally have wider snouts than this puppet, because this puppet is probably not to scale.
I don't know why they didn't just put in some stock footage.
Yeah, he doesn't interact with it.
No, it just appears and disappears. Okay, so basically this is like we're inside the minds of all these dead Gallifreyans.
Yeah.
But a lot of this shit's from Earth.
Okay, here's the thing though. He's not... It's something specifically that's being projected.
Why is it all Earth shit?
I think the Master might be mocking him. He might be going, hey, you like Earth so much, I'm gonna kill you there.
That is 100% it.
So the Doctor falls off this cliff, saves himself with his scarf. He's like pulling himself back up with a scarf. And then there's just a fucking like samurai.
Yeah. He chops the scarf, which upset me a lot.
Yeah, he chops the scarf and the Doctor falls down.
Well, it's not the real scarf, so it's fine.
Good point.
It's a mental scarf. Because, yeah, then we immediately... He, like, falls off the cliff, and then, like, we cut back to real life. And they're like, oh, something bad just happened.
Their version of this episode's a lot more boring.
They're just watching a guy laying on a table.
Just sweating.
For 20 fucking minutes. Though I think time moves differently, because at one point I think they're like, he's been in there for 4 minutes. I'm like, nah, he's been in there for a whole episode. But they're like, nah, they think he might have died, but they're like, no, he's fine. He must have a lot of
whatever. They throw out some word.
Auto-incar blah blah blah. I don't remember.
His brain must have a lot of something energy is what they say. I didn't remember because it doesn't mean anything.
But the Doctor wakes up at the bottom of the cliff on a gurney. He has a mask on his face, and there's a doctor, a real doctor, not like the doctor, a doctor.
Well, he's not real.
Well, no, he's a figment.
He's a mad scientist type.
Yeah, he has a giant needle full of red liquid that he's gonna kill the Doctor with. And then the Doctor gets off the table, runs away immediately into like a war zone. Stuff's exploding everywhere. There's a guy in a gas mask with a horse that also has, like, a mask on, just in the smoke. He runs away from the guy with the gas mask, and he steps on a train track.
Something pulls the lever, and the train track traps his foot from the side.
Even though his foot was not in that spot in that previous shot.
It closes with, like, it's an angle so that it's wider forward and narrower backward, and his foot is kind of caught. And you can see that, like, if he would just move his foot forward, he could get loose, because it's wider there. But instead, he's just pulling it straight up, and it's not working. And I'm just sitting there going, Doctor, stop pulling up and move your foot forward. It's super easy. It's a sliding mechanism, basically. And he's just not doing it. And it's... frustrating.
It's fine, though, because the train is an illusion.
Well, yeah, the train's coming for him, though, and that's the cliffhanger. He's a sped up footage of a train. And that's the end of episode 2, and we are now into episode 3, which I've called Inside the Living Mind!
And I call it The Redundant Assassin! Wait, so the titles for these serials so far are, the first one is I Think I Might Have Killed the President. The second one... what was it again?
That thing opens.
Yeah, and now the third one is The Redundant Assassin.
Yeah, then he's like, it's the train rushes by, but then nothing happens.
And which is like, weird, because he's like, it's an illusion. So he starts to try and be like, I reject this reality and substitute my own. No, he doesn't say that. He does say the first part, though. He says, I reject this reality.
I deny it. And it turns, like, everything sort of warps and turns into diagrams in the opening sequence again. And then he passes out in the desert. And then
supposedly, the master, or whoever else is there, has, like, they've gotten more time to kind of, like, get into this, and they have a stronger...
You mean they've gotten time to master it?
Sure.
That is one way to put it.
Because he's the master.
Sure.
And he's mastered...
Sure.
...the Matrix.
Yeah, sure.
Continue with your thought.
That was it.
Oh.
I'm done now.
So he's pulled it back in, basically. The doctor's, like, denied it, and then the master's like, no, fuck you. He's passed out in the desert, and he looks up, and there's these giant eyeballs on the side of a mountain
it's
wall.
It's very silly. I liked it a lot.
And it says something and, like, laughs and fades away.
Where it's like, you're in my world now, doctor.
You're the man now, dog.
And the doctor wipes some of the sand away, and there's, like, just a mirror-looking thing. Yeah, and he looks in it, and there's a fucking evil clown. Again, very much an Earth thing, unless there's clowns in space.
God,
there might be killer clowns from outer space.
I bet clowns are why aliens don't come visit us. Like, we're not going there.
They think this is funny.
So that was terrifying. Then he gets up. Then that's when the plane shows up. There's a biplane that starts chasing him and shooting at him.
This sequence is North by Northwest. Like, it is just Doctor Who doing North by Northwest. Like, that scene from North by Northwest, that's the only scene that anyone has seen from North by Northwest, because it's the clip from North by Northwest, and nobody's seen the whole movie. Everybody's just seen the one scene from North by Northwest. That scene is now in an episode of Doctor Who with the Doctor.
No one's even seen that scene. They've just seen the poster where the guy's, like, running from the biplane. That's it.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about. I've seen neither of those things.
There's a famous movie scene where a guy is running from a biplane in, like, a cornfield or something. And he's being, like, shot at or flown at or something. And he's ducking. And there's a plane. That scene, that's from North by Northwest, which is an Alfred Hitchcock movie. And everybody's seen that scene. You've seen it. You're not thinking about it.
If you Google it and you go to Image Googles... Like, literally every result on the first page, other than, like, four pictures, is him ducking the crop duster.
Yeah, so that scene is now a scene in an episode of Doctor Who that takes place inside the living mind, / the Matrix. So that's another movie that it's referencing, but this movie is a movie that I think came out before this episode.
Yes, pretty sure. This episode, to me, feels a lot like that one-third Doctor episode, where it's just chase sequence the whole time, and this one is just fucking around inside of a brain the whole time.
Pretty much, yeah.
But yeah, the thing starts shooting at the doctor, the plane starts shooting at the doctor. The doctor gets shot in the leg. He's got a wound and there's blood.
Yeah, he could have really used the Whomobile now.
He decides that there's not, though.
And then the wound disappears. And then the master's like, no, it's there, and it comes back.
And the doctor's kind of like, fine, I'll fight you on your terms, and I'll still kick your ass. I don't care. And then we get, like, a crazy survivalist adventure, I guess.
Yeah, now he goes to the jungle, and there's a guy.
Yeah, because we see the master back in the real world. He's, like, sending someone into the Matrix to be his, like, his chess piece. And it's this, his head's covered up with it's the hooded figure, but he's, like, in this plug, he's plugged into the Matrix. He's got this, like, red helmet on, and it's really cool. And, yeah, then the guy shows up in the Matrix, and he's, like, this hunter.
He's basically like the big game hunter from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Australian dude, but with like a black mask.
I was thinking Jumanji, but yeah, that's fair too. He's got a black mask on. I thought he didn't have a face to begin with, but then later he like pulls up his mask and drinks the thing. So like, oh, he has a face. He's basically playing the most dangerous game, which is also a reference. It's a book, right?
I think so.
I'm sure it's been made into a movie at some point. And also... tons of other things, you know, chasing a human being.
The Most Dangerous Game, also published as The Hounds of Xeroth, is a short story by Richard Connell, first published in Collier's on January 19th of 1924. It is also a film from 1932 and also 2017. I guess that's a remake.
So the Doctor's hiding from this hunter. There is a giant spider that I thought was going to have more involvement in the plot.
Oh, yeah, same.
But it's just kind of set dressing.
Yep, it's not that important.
I thought maybe he'd have some sort of, like, reaction to it, because before it's behind him and he's, like, backing up into it. So I kind of thought he would, like, back up into it and be like, oh shit, a giant spider! And then, like...
Because, I mean, that spider looked pretty fake. You'd think, you know, if they're gonna go to the lengths of actually making the fake spider, they might as well use it. But maybe they did and then they cut it out for time, or because it looked so fake.
There's a lot of logic problems coming up for me in this whole segment.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Well, it is inside the living mind.
Yeah, but still, it's like, I mean, this hunter guy is a person who we will find out in a little bit. But, like, he stops and drinks some water. The Doctor is watching him. And then he's like, the Doctor's gonna need water. What can I do? So he's going to go poison there's like a puddle. There's some water. He's like, the Doctor will go there to drink water. I'm gonna go poison that water. But he leaves all of his shit behind? Which I thought he was like, oh, I'm gonna leave my water here for the Doctor to drink, but that will be poisoned. But that's not what happens. He goes to poison some other water, but leaves all of his shit there, including a fucking grenade.
And the empty bottle of poison.
No, he leaves the empty bottle of poison by the water.
That he poisoned.
Which, by the way, just looks like a bottle of green food coloring. Like, it's literally a food coloring bottle. I don't know if they come in those bottles over there, but, like, here in Europe, those are the bottles that food coloring comes in.
Not anymore, because now they come in, they used to come in those, but now they come in little squishy droppers.
I don't know I haven't seen one in a long time, so maybe they do that here too, but back in the day, that was the thing.
While he's poisoning the water.
Food coloring the water.
Food coloring the water. He's setting up the grenade in a tree, then he goes off to find the water. The hunter comes back, sets off the bomb. Sets off the grenade.
His vision and stuff is, like, getting bleary.
Yeah, the Doctor is.
He is rough.
Yeah, he looks bad. I mean, he's been shot in the leg, too, so.
He's been
like, limping this whole time, too.
Yeah.
But now they both have wounds and stuff, because, like, the grenade didn't kill him, didn't kill the hunter, but it messed him up a bit. Because we actually see him, like, bandaging a wound on his side. It gets, like, really intense. So the Doctor almost drinks the water.
But he sees the bottle that the guy's just left there.
He's like, oh, shit. Oh, meanwhile, also, the Master's like, what else can I do to, like, up my game here? And hypnotizes one of the guards and sends him off. So he's gonna try to interfere with this whole thing. He's gonna send him to try to, like, mess with the Doctor's real body while he's got him trapped inside this mind realm. So that's also happening. But the Doctor gets this, like, bamboo pole thing. Turns it into a straw, like, cleans it out, and then, like, drinks out of a tiny non-poison puddle.
I'm not entirely sure that's what he's doing. I think he's pulling the poison up into the straw so that he can use it for poison darts.
Oh.
So that he can put, like, a little, like, a needle from a tree or something inside of the straw and blow it, and that will be covered in the poison from the puddle. And then it'll hit the hunter guy. That's what I think he was doing.
That actually makes more sense.
Yeah, because drinking the water didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and I thought about it for like a minute after that, and I was like, no, that's not what he was doing.
I thought it was a different pool. I don't know. But yeah, that makes sense.
I might be wrong, though, but like I feel like with what we see later, it seems like that's probably what he was doing. He was coating the inside of the straw with poison.
Yeah, because then he gets up in a tree.
He does find thorns, and he picks them, and he actually puts them inside the poison, like the empty bottle.
So he shoots the hunter with the dart, and then the hunter shoots him out of the tree. The Doctor falls out of the tree, but then, like, the hunter, like, rips his pants off, and he's got this, like, giant bump on his leg where he got hit with the dart.
I didn't see what happened after that, because, like, he pulled out a knife, and I closed my eyes.
He doesn't pull out a knife. He pulls out, like, a little, basically, I think he pulled out, like, an antidote sort of thing and stabs it into his leg.
Oh, okay. I didn't see, I made assumptions and closed my eyes.
Yeah, he, like, pulled out a thing, because, like,
I thought he was
going to,
like, cut it out or something, and I was like,
no.
It's Doctor Who.
He's just got a bump, and he injects himself with something to counteract. I assume it's to counteract the poison.
Okay.
But also, like, there's a giant bump, and it looks gross.
Yeah.
And then the hypnotized guard comes in and is like, we need the Doctor for, you know, processing or whatever. And they're like, well, you'll have to wait just a little bit. He's in this situation. He can't last much longer in there, so just hold on a bit.
He'll either be dead or you can have him.
Like, he keeps, like, trying to sneak forward and press, like, this button to, like, disconnect the doctor or kill the doctor or whatever. And they're like, hey, don't touch that. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then, like, he waits a bit and he tries to touch it again. And then they, like, push him off and, like, Castellan just shoots him.
But it's, like, the
they're,
most...
like, so casual about it.
Yeah. Just like, huh.
That was weird. What a dick. Then the doctor is going through this, like, swampy area, and he's like, marsh gas. He hears the hunter coming, and they start having, like, a conversation, and the doctor's like, I need to see your face.
Your real face.
And he's like, fine, and he pulls his mask off, and it's Goth. It's Chancellor Goth. He's been the hooded figure this whole time. And then the doctor sets him on fire. I look down for 2 seconds. I don't know how it happened. And I look back up, and Goth is on fire, and so is the swamp. What happened?
I looked down for those same 2 seconds.
Yeah, me too. Both times I watched the serial, I missed what happened. And I didn't bother looking. I just figured, yeah, it's fucking swamp gas. I don't know. It ignited.
That does not take care of Goth. The doctor starts heading back, and because I guess they're in a swamp, he just ducked under the water. He gets out, and they start fist fighting. And then the doctor starts losing. And
real bad.
Goth fucking drowns him. He's, like, pushing him under the water.
He's holding his head underwater, and it's awful.
And that's the cliffhanger.
Did you say they got complaints?
Oh, yeah. The what's-her-face White House or whatever definitely complained about that scene. Also, the doctor was a little... Tom Baker apparently was a little worried about it, too. And he's also, like... Apparently, he was actually not happy filming that scene.
Really?
He was afraid of drowning. And he apparently was like, I don't know how the kids are going to handle this. So he, like, watched that episode with a family just to see how they handled it. I don't know what the end results of that was. But...
Well, it aired.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, it got cut out.
Really?
When they re-aired it, they completely cut that out, and it only existed... They, like, wiped the film. It only existed in, like, the... They had to, like, reconstruct it from the recap. They kept it in the recap. Because they were, like, more worried about that's the cliffhanger, and, like, kids are gonna have to sit for a week until they find out what happened. So I think they left it in the recap of the next episode. But they cut it out of the cliffhanger.
Well, a lot of this episode was spent... in a jungle in essentially a video game. So I'm just gonna call this episode Doctor Who, Welcome to the Jungle.
Do they have fun in games?
Well, it's more referencing the movie than the song, but yes.
It can be both.
More games than fun, I think.
I've heard that movie's actually pretty good, but I haven't seen it yet.
It is pretty good. I've seen it. I had fun watching it. Recommend it to people who like fun. Not necessarily to people who have like a super... high standard for, like, genius filmmaking, but it was a solid, entertaining movie. To recap, the episodes are I Think I Might Have Killed the President, The Panopticon Opens, and the third one was Welcome to the Jungle, and then the fourth one, part four, which I guess we're starting, I'm calling The Redundant Assassin.
No!
I'm calling episode four The Episode of Rassilon.
Whoa! That's us.
What the fuck?
Because we've had the seal, but this is the first episode that actually name drops.
Rassilon. Of Rassilon. This is the first of Rassilon.
Yeah. We did it. We can stop doing this fucking podcast now. Bye.
Finally caught up to Rassilon.
It actually took us that long for our name to become relevant.
Yeah. What episode number is this? Is like 90 something, 80 something? I don't even know. So the doctor's being drowned. He hits Goth with a stick. Well, he pushes him off and then hits him with a stick. And then we go back to the title sequence. Not the actual title sequence, but the Matrix title sequence. The master yells at Goth, like, you failed me, blah, blah, blah. And then just, it seems like he straight up murders him. I don't know.
I mean, basically, he's like, I have one chance at this. I can trap him in the Matrix. And Goth is like, I'm still hooked up. That'll basically fry my brain. And he's like, I give a shit. That's pretty much what happens.
The doctor does get out, so...
And Goth still gets fried anyway.
And he's very not he's very unhappy about it. Like, why did I trust you? The doctor does get out of the thing, though, and, like, the machine is, like, smoking and stuff, and he's, like, very upset. He's like, I'm pretty sure I requested the non-smoking section. And he's like, oh, wait, I'm actually doing something. He tells them, Castellaneta, whatever his name was, that Goth is the bad guy. And they're like, oh, wait, that actually makes a whole lot of sense. And then they're like, Where would these things be connected to the machine? And they're like, there's some vaults underneath.
They're trying to figure out, because clearly, like, the Master and Goth have some sort of other plug into the Matrix, because this is supposed to be the only one.
Right.
And so they're trying to figure out where it could possibly be.
They hacked into the mainframe.
So they go into these vaults, they find the Master, and he's dead. The Master is dead. But he, like, in a previous shot, like, held up, like, a little needle thing, and it was like, I'll do something with this. So he's not really dead. But they think he's dead, and they talk to Goth, who is still alive a bit, and we find out that Goth was not the successor, which is because they're like, why would you do all this? You could have just let the president resign, and then you would have been president. And he's like, I wasn't the successor, so this whole thing was to make me the president and also frame somebody for the murder.
What I'm wondering is, why does he want to be the president?
Why does Power. Anyone want to be the president?
But, like, have we seen any indication that being the president of the Time Lord is a desirable position?
In fact, because, like, the Doctor asks this to, what's his face?
Castellaneta?
Sure.
I don't know. I can't remember his name.
He asks him that, and he's like, I mean, it's basically a title. Like, technically, he gets all these things.
Yeah, the way they explain it, it sounds lame. Like, it sounds like, oh, it's just you get a title, but you're still just another Time Lord. Like, you're not special, you just get a special name.
I assume that a little bit of power, and, like, more prestige comes with it than power.
I assume you have some amount of power, just a little bit at least. But, like, he's, like, asking him these questions, why he worked with the Master, and he's like, the Master promised me knowledge if I brought him back to Gallifrey. And then he sort of, like, took me over and made me do stuff. Basically, he hypnotized me and stuff. And then the Doctor asks him something else, and then he dies. And the doctor makes a joke. He's like, no straight answers. Typical politician. I'm like, dude, the guy just died.
Now's not the time.
Maybe a little too soon.
By the way, when it comes to the Master's hypnotism thing, like, the whole idea of the Master's hypnotism thing is that it goes beyond real hypnotism, right? He can hypnotize you to the point where you can do things you don't want to do, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's established fact about that thing that he does, right? Remember the Christmas invasion with the Sycorax? The Sycorax had this blood control thing where they hypnotized people using their blood types, and they made them stand on the edge of buildings, but they couldn't make them jump because the Doctor says, you can't hypnotize someone to death. You can't hypnotize people into doing things they wouldn't do. It's a parlor trick. That seems like a contradiction of what they've established about the Master, which is that his hypnotism does go beyond what people want to do. And the explanation given around the Sycorax was that was a universal fact about hypnotism. Like, those are two non-compatible plot points.
It's been contradicted multiple times, though, because there's been multiple times that, like, Sarah Jane's been hypnotized and almost killed the Doctor.
Right, yeah, that too. And it's always this thing of, like, you can't hypnotize someone to do a thing they don't want to do. Well, I can. And it's like, well, then they go, well, nobody can. And then you go, well, I can. Well, nobody can. Well, I can. And it just keeps going back and forth like that. And it's like, pick one. Either there are exceptions or there are no exceptions. You can't just go, well, there are exceptions. Well, there are no exceptions. Well, here's an exception, but there are no exceptions.
It's all wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
Yeah, there's no canon.
So they explain what all just happened to, like, I don't know, the head honcho guy. I don't know his name or his role. Maybe he's going to be the new president. I don't remember.
No, he's the...
He's the guy that, like, denied Runcible his earlier. Like,
did they
Runcible's
call him Chancellor? Or is Chancellor what Goth
was? Chancellor Goth's was what title. Goth was.
Because he... It said that he was the Doctor's teacher in school.
I don't remember what he is.
The one with, like, the red helmet who's, like...
Yeah.
Who, like, tells everybody to lie about things.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. He's sort of like, I'm going to take control of this situation. He doesn't believe the story. He's like, what we're going to have to do... He's like, I don't buy it. I know it's true. I just don't... I don't buy it.
It's not a good story.
So we're going to adjust the truth a bit. And we're going to say that the Master came to kill the president. Goth found out, tried to stop him, and died trying to stop the Master. Which is... They're going to turn him into a hero. Which is the Dark Knight, right? It's what they did with Two-Face.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because they didn't want... this white knight to be revealed as a bad guy. He says the doctor's charges will be dropped if he leaves. And then, but also they want the doctor to make a biog of the master. But it doesn't have to be accurate. Just gotta be good.
That's a good place to end it. Nice little message there about how, truth. Who cares? We just want it to be, good. Interesting. Make it pop.
And then,
specifically, they don't want people to lose faith in, like, the leadership that's in place.
They're taking the bodies to, they're gonna do shit to...
They're going to do shit to him.
To make it, to match the story.
They're going
to
shoot him with a phaser gun, because apparently that, like, chars the body.
They're going to stick them to the front of the spaceship, and they're going to go through the Reaver territory.
They go pick up the bodies, they also find the needle. They're like, hey, what's that? Let's take it to get analyzed or whatever. So the doctor starts doing the biog, and they're like, can you tell us about the character of the master? And he's like, bad.
He's bad.
Like, come on, tell us more than that. He also is just like, I don't think he's dead. I don't trust that guy.
He doesn't just stay dead.
And they start. This is when the first time that the 12 regeneration limit is mentioned. So
I know that's been resolved, right?
I mean, they just gave him a new cycle.
They can do that.
The Time Lords can do that. Yeah. All
right.
That's what happened in the 11th Doctor story.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, so they're like the 12th regeneration limit. Is set up here, and like they, I think they say that the master is at the end of his.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it's like that's when Rassilon gets brought up too. The sash of Rassilon.
The sash of Rassilon's the best. There's I'm so glad that's the first thing is a sash.
Yeah, it's a fashion accessory of Rassilon. Is there a tiara of Rassilon?
Oh, I hope so.
I like too that he's explaining these items. There's a sash of Rassilon and a key of Rassilon, and there's some bit about an Eye of Harmony, but nobody really knows what they're not for anything. Their like original meaning's been lost to time, and they're just really ceremonial. And then he plays like the Wikipedia entry on the items, and it's like, yeah, the key opens the Eye of Harmony. The Eye of Harmony has all this shit to do with a black hole. He's like, who knows? Lost to time.
So, because yeah, that's what it is that Rassilon found the Eye of Harmony. Then sealed it up.
Isn't there an Eye of Harmony in the TARDIS?
I think that happens later.
Yeah, but is that put there later, or is it revealed that it's been there the whole time?
I think
it's put there later.
I think it's put there. But movie, right? Movie's when Eye of Harmony.
There might be stuff that happens with Eye of Harmony between now and the movie that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Well, in the movie, it's already there, I think. And then it's still there in the episode where they go in there. But it's totally different.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it changes with the TARDIS. I don't know. But it's basically a controlled black hole, right? It's a locked up black hole, is what is said. But then he's like, where are all of these things? And he's like, well, the Eye of Harmony is just out there on the floor. We'll walk over it at some point. The key is on display in this thing, and the president keeps the sash. Of Rassilon. They're like, oh, let's all go to the master. Let's all go to the master, and they get there, and the master's not there. Well, he is there, he's just hiding.
So there's the sash of Rassilon, the tiara of Rassilon, and the bouquet of Rassilon?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Is there a talent of Rassilon and a swimsuit competition of Rassilon?
Anything that you can put before the words of Rassilon exists. Anything.
Even
everything.
Something dumb like Watchathon?
Yeah.
I'm ready for the Miss Rassilon contest.
So, the master pulls a gun on everybody, asks for the sash of Rassilon.
We did explain why he wasn't actually dead.
Oh, the needle.
Of Rassilon.
It had a, a neural inhibitor.
Yes.
Of Rassilon.
So, something that makes you seem dead, but not.
So, he's alive.
He also seems slightly less crispy now.
Not really. He's still pretty crispy.
I mean, he's like...
Oh, when they go in there, he's miniaturized a guard, too.
Yeah.
That one looked better, moderately. I think that one might have been just a real person that they shrunk. But like,
it was just a real person that they actually physically shrunk, and that's why it looked better.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was footage of a real person that they made smaller.
The whole show is footage, Joe. It's all footage.
I mean, but it's not footage of a toy. It's footage of a person, and they made the footage smaller. So it looked like he was smaller. Why did I take this chair? I sit in this seat and then I have to be the one who like wrangles everybody together.
It's real
awful. I don't like
real
it.
Real hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's hard being that person. And then everyone's like, I want to go off on a tangent. And you have to be like, okay, but we do have to do this.
Is that the chair of Rassilon?
Sure is.
It's the responsibility of
Rassilon. It's the chair of the Watchathon of Rassilon. We have to put Watchathon before all of our stuff.
You should get a sash of the Watchathon of Rassilon then.
You should.
And a tiara and a bouquet of plastic flowers.
The sash is clearly made out of cardboard. It looks like Batman's belt, but like that you wear around your neck. Yeah.
It's a utility sash.
And I swear there's one point where it flips around and you can just see that it's cardboard. But the master wants it. Castellan won't give it to him, so he shoots him. The doctor won't give it to him, so he shoots him. And the third guy, the guy that explains things, gives the master the sash.
He's like, I'm not getting shot.
Yeah. And then he's like, don't worry about these two. They're stunned, not dead, because I want them to see the destruction of everything. Because basically, what's going to happen is the sash protects you from getting sucked into another universe. So he's going to unleash this black hole. It's going to destroy everything. Somehow he's going to get regeneration again. I don't remember how that was a thing.
The energy from the black hole?
Yeah, that sounds fair.
Sure?
Sure, why not? This way he goes, he gets the key, which is this really ornate looking cane.
Yeah, and then the way that it fits into the thing, you have to like slide it around. It goes in, and then twist it,
and then shove it down some more, twist it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's like churning butter.
And then the door opens, a giant black crystal-looking thing raises out of it.
It looks just, to me, like a big black filing cabinet.
Of Rassilon.
Yeah.
It's got four handles, one on each side, red handles. He starts flipping some switches while the doctor is trying to climb up a chute, because they're locked in this room, and there's like a chute that he's going to climb up. But things are getting shaky, stuff is collapsing everywhere. The doctor gets out into that room, and then the roof falls on him. His vision came true. The doctor's trying to talk to the master, and he's like, that sash won't protect you. We shot the president, and he died. He was wearing the sash. It clearly doesn't work. It's damaged. It's faulty. But the master's not really listening.
The master's like, liar! And then
that's his last lines, is you lie.
Yeah.
But yeah, the doctor, they tackles him, and they wrestle a bit.
They wrestle on bit.
This is the Rassilon. Rassilon of
Rassilon.
Rassilon. The master falls in a hole, and the doctor flips the switches back up and stops it.
And like the whole place is like earthquaking.
Yeah.
Well,
because yeah, that's the floor falls apart, and that's where the master falls down. What? I don't know what you said.
I said the whole place is earthquaking, and then I corrected myself and said Gallifrey quaking.
Oh. So the guy that was like, let's alter the truth, is very grumpy about all this damage.
I like how the doctor, too. So the doctor is just sitting in a chair and he's like half passed out. He is like exhausted. This is like the worst day he's ever had.
Wait, he's half passed out or he's half passed out?
What?
You said the same thing.
No, half passed out or half passed out.
Oh.
P-A-S-S-E-D.
It's not a time.
Because those are two different things. Because if you're half passed out, you're not quite passed out yet. But if you're half passed out, you're already out and have been for a half hour.
No, he's not.
That's the former.
He is not quite yet passed out. But he's getting there. And like the one guy's like very angrily like, this is the worst. Everything bad is happening. And they're like, it would have been worse if the doctor wasn't there. And the doctor's like, yeah, I did a good job. Please. I'm so tired. Please stop yelling.
He's also like, they're like, what are we going to say about all this? And he's just like, I don't know. Why don't you alter the truth some? Some mice did it. And he's like, fuck you.
What? No, no, no. We need to look up that line because it's really good.
I don't remember what.
It's much better than fuck you. It's been established that this is somebody who taught him at the academy. And he's like, I'll tell you what I've told you before. Something like your asinine frivolity is the worst. But in a way more time lordy way, you know.
So then the doctor's just like, I don't care anymore. Can I just go? And they're like, yeah, sure. And then
he's acting very like, yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir.
Yeah.
He's and acting very much like he's a kid in school.
And then he's like, hey, doctor. And the doctor turns around. He's like, what? He's like, 9 out of 10. He gives him a grade on this cereal.
Thank you, sir.
And then the Time Lords, the one who explains things, and Bree Castellini, thank him and, like, ask him to stay, and it's that typical thing.
Yeah, they say, you know, I'm pretty sure, like, if you wanted to stay, I'm pretty sure we could work something out. You don't have to be banished forever. And he was like, oh, no, I love being banished. Being banished is the best.
And then they're like, what do you think happened to the Master? Oh, I don't know. And they're like, he's probably dead, right? Yeah, I don't know.
No, I mean, they're like, he's dead. He's got to be dead. And the Doctor's like, oh, no. He doesn't just die. He doesn't do that.
But, you know, if he shows up again, just give me a ring and then leaves.
The thing is, so, like, the Master's juicier head. His head got juicier.
And his eyes bulge out a little bit more.
Yeah, it shows up. There's this old clock. And it shows up in the clock, which I guess is a TARDIS.
Yeah, it's a TARDIS.
I think it's just lit a little differently. I don't think it's juicier and bulgier. I just think you're seeing it differently in a different light.
It's better lit and it's not in a hood.
It's lit in a way that makes it look juicier. But they're just like, oh, it's the Master. Where do you think he's going? And they're like, out into the universe. And I don't think it's big enough for the two of them. But they're like so...
casual.
Yeah, they're like, oh, well. Like, that guy just... almost wrecked your entire planet.
Not just the planet, like...
like the world.
Multiple planets, yeah.
And got away with murder.
And they're just like, oh man, there he goes. That rapscallion.
Yeah, he conspired to murder the president and got away. And they're sort of being like, yeah, okay.
That's the end of the serial. That's the end of The Deadly Assassin. And we're going to take a quick break and we will be back for final thoughts.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
That is by far my favorite, because it's also character-driven and the stakes are high and there's much more of a mystery and intrigue to it.
A game like Wolfenstein, which people are saying are one of the most socially important video games of the past 10 years.
Catch our shows on Podbean, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on over 30 more podcast outlets, including our friends right here at the ESO Network.
And we're back.
We didn't take a break.
Welcome back.
I put an ad there.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
I thought I was going to have time to go get a snack.
Welcome back.
No, it's not. It's an editing break.
Welcome
but
back.
We're not really taking a break. It's a break for the listeners.
Welcome back.
He said welcome back.
Well, thank you. Tony, do you know what time it is?
Yeah, I do. It's time for final thoughts.
What?
Thank God. Jesus. My whole life has been upended.
Final thoughts. It's really hard to give thoughts on this serial because it's so weird and it's so hard to grasp onto anything about it. I mean, it's got bits of Matrix in it, which is interesting because, you know, that's not a trope that was super popular before Tron and shit, but... here we see it. Like, this is virtual reality, basically. We're seeing a character basically transported into a computer world. And not only is it a computer world, it's a computer world that looks like the real world, kind of. So it's more like The Matrix than it is like Tron. Which is, it's interesting that you're seeing that in something that was made in the 70s. Because that's thinking ahead. Because, like, computers in the 70s, what were they? They were tape players. They were calculators. And these people, these writers are like, yeah, it's a fucking world. Like, it's a real world. And you go there and you get hurt. That's pretty impressive that they had that at that point. So that's cool. I mean, there is a little bit of Philip K. Dick and blah, blah, blah. But still, it's I think that's notable. And other than that, I mean, obviously there's a lot of loose lore that some of it, like, doesn't quite make sense. They don't address regenerations that much. Like, people get killed left and right, and there's no talk of, like, is this person gonna regenerate? And they don't really explain why that's not happening. And, I mean, all the stuff in the Matrix world is very random, it seems like, and very Earth-based. And I guess the subtext to take from that is that it's a taunt. It's a way of making fun of the Doctor for being so obsessed with Earth. That's how I interpret it anyway. I don't know if that's intentional or if they're just being weird. Plot-wise, it's like he goes there, he thinks someone's gonna kill the president, someone kills the president, and shit's confusing when he's holding the gun, and it's a whole weird thing. And then there's an investigation, and he runs for president. It's like, it's really hard to summarize this serial just like that. So it's really hard to say that it was good, but it was weird, which I enjoyed. I enjoy how weird the serial is. I don't know that I could point to it and say, like, this is good storytelling right here. It's like, this is some weird shit. It's just happening for no reason, almost. And the master is there, and he's Chinese food for reasons that are not explained. It's just a whole lot of stuff they're throwing at us and not really giving context to much of it. They're giving some explanations of what the things are that we're seeing in the episode, but we're not really getting any, like, why is this happening? And why is it so important for this goth guy to become president when it's also explained in the same serial that the president is kind of a, like, it's just a honorary title, basically. It's not that special. It doesn't come with, like, super special privileges or anything. It's like you get to wear a different outfit. I mean, there's the sash and the key and all that, but that was for the master. It wasn't really for Goth, right? Goth doesn't really care about that stuff. He doesn't know what it's for.
The master was controlling him a bit, so.
Yeah, that too. But, like, is that why he wants to be president? I don't know. It's a weird serial, and I like that, but I can't call it a good story. Because it's just a bunch of nonsense. But it's delightful nonsense. Those are probably my final thoughts. And, oh, and the titles for these episodes are... The number one is, I Think I Might Have Killed the President. The second one was, The Panopticon Opens. The third one was, Welcome to the Jungle. And then the fourth one was... The Redundant Assassin. I'm sticking with it.
I thoroughly enjoyed watching this serial. I think there were, like, multiple times where I was just, like, engrossed, you know, where you're just like, oh god, what's happening next? And I really liked all the weird establishing lore shit that we got. We get to see Gallifrey, we get to see Rassilon. Chapters are a thing that's introduced here. Kind of how Gallifrey looks and functions. And it's all really fun. The design for it is great. Their robes look amazing. And it feels, sometimes you get like an alien society and they all like have the one outfit that they have to share. And it all feels very samey. This feels very big. It feels like a whole society and you can tell different people have different roles and they're, I mean, there are only probably like three different outfits that we see really. But it's enough. It's enough for it to make it feel like a whole big wide society. Yeah, it's one of those ones where they're just gonna throw a lot of weird stuff at you and you're like, okay. The doctor, I think the doctor's been like kind of vulnerable lately. Like he's been shown like losing a lot. I mean, you know, always winning at the end, but like having a harder and harder time of it. And this is one serial where that's really the case. He's losing a lot of time, you know, being tortured or being chased. Literally in the like having to survive basically in the like the Matrix. It's not any like using your words, you know, talking yourself out of a situation. It's all just like, can he think himself out of the situation? Which is a little bit different problem solving than we sometimes see. And it was really fun. And I liked it. That's it. Those are all my thoughts.
I agree. I love all of the lore. I'm so happy that we've gotten to actual Rassilon and not just that fucking seal showing up in that previous, I'm gonna say it, terrible serial.
I'm glad they rescued it, because it is a great design.
It is a great design. I'm super down for learning more about the Time Lords and the Matrix, and this is the first episode that sets up the regeneration limit, which I know annoys a lot of people, but I'm for it. I'm glad the Master's back. I kind of like that we don't know what happened to the Master. I think that's kind of interesting, that we're just like, and he's there, why not?
He's there, and he's extra crispy.
And he's trying to get some more regenerations and stuff. And I love, though it's not as good as the chase sequence than that Third Doctor serial, Planet of Spiders. It reminded me a lot of it. It's a lot of fun of just like, let's just film random weird stuff for an entire episode. It mostly turns into the Most Dangerous Game. That's the primary thing of it. And I think that maybe actually goes a little too long. But it's filmed really well. It's tense. All the jungle stuff is nice. But, yeah, I don't know. Anytime the show does just weird stuff just to be doing weird stuff is generally when it's my favorite. So everything inside the Matrix I loved a lot. And I also like just that weird opening of, like, he gets the vision and you're like, what's happening? And then it's like, oh, he shot the guy. It looked like he really shot the guy. What is happening? And then all gets, like, adequately explained away. But, yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was also weird, though, like having an entire serial with no companion.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest you get is Castellan, but he's also like kind of against the Doctor at the beginning and has to be brought around. He doesn't really fill the companion role necessarily. So that was an interesting thing. I'm excited to get to our next companion. I honestly don't know who it is. I think I might know, but I'm not sure.
Is it Leela?
I think it might be Leela. I'm not sure. So we'll find out next time. But yeah, I like this series a lot. I thought it was a lot of fun. It felt like a finale. I actually think I don't know if it'd be better if it was 6 episodes. You could probably explain things a little bit more clearly. But also that the stuff in the jungle was probably a little too long. So I don't know. Maybe.
I liked all the stuff in the jungle.
A 5-parter. But yeah, I liked it. Thumbs up. I'm enjoying 4 so much, you guys. But that's it. Anything you want to plug, Vince?
There's a book called The Princess and the Pterodactyls, written by J. Bartholomew Hiviman, that I think people should read and review.
I co-wrote it.
Occasionally, I make music. It is not something I've been posting a whole lot lately. I posted a song a little while ago called This Goes To Doesn't Advertise, which is a Simpsons reference.
It's a Simpsons podcast.
It is a song I want people to listen to. It has a bit of a positive message, which is unusual for me. Usually, I'm just negative. or satirical, but that's a fairly sincere song, although it has elements of satire, I suppose, but most of it is pretty straightforward. Other than that, I've been doing a lot of instrumental music that I'm currently not posting, although I might if I finish anything. But yeah, I produced a couple of tracks for Lex Lexicon Artist and might do some more in the future, but yeah, she released a video recently for Peep Game. Yeah, that's on YouTube and has my beat in it, so that's pretty rocking.
Where can people follow you?
They can follow me on Twitter at VincentEL. They can also follow me on Instagram, I guess, at Vincent.E.L, I think. Because I couldn't get Vincent EL on Instagram. I basically never post on Instagram, but I have posted a couple of things, and I might post more. But, like, what I post on Instagram isn't like, hey, look how pretty I am, because I'm not. I might post stuff like a short rap verse or a picture of the book. I haven't done that yet, but I will probably post a picture of the book, because I want people to know that it exists. So, yeah, I have Instagram. And I guess I have also a Facebook, like, band page. Vincent DL, the Earwig Linguist. So you can follow me there. Also, you can go on Spotify and listen, stream the song that I talked about earlier over and over again. You can also go and download it on various platforms. You can go to my Bandcamp page, which is Vincent DL, and you can just get my stuff there. It's got a, like a pay what you want thing. So like if you got a lot of money, you can spend a lot of it on me, and I will be able to afford to make more music than I'm currently making, because I'll have more free time if I'm getting paid for doing the things that I actually want to do, as opposed to the things I don't want to do. So yeah, those are things.
If you like this episode, you can check out more on watchyourasslawn.com, and be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It helps us out. It gets us noticed by the magic iTunes wizards.
It helps people see us more. It puts the more reviews we get, the more other people see us, and the more other people see us, the more sometimes, occasionally, they might listen to us.
So be nice to those iTunes wizards. If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to watchyourasslawn.com/support, and there you can find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon, and there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day early episodes, bonus episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, and live streams where you can watch the episodes with us. Vince watched the episodes with us. That was a lot of fun. We hung out and made jokes. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wishlist where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Speaking of, special thanks again to Bisexual Brigadier for sponsoring this episode.
Thank you.
You can follow her on Tumblr at bisexualbrigadier.tumblr.com. Also, hey, thanks, Vince, for making the theme song.
Hey, no problem. If anybody else wants a theme song, pay me!
Or become really good friends with Vince, and then you get them for free. Don't even have to ask. It just makes them. Tune in next time when we talk about The Face of Evil with special returning guest Chris. Middle name, Cherry.
I know him.
Yeah, he's pretty cool, I guess.
Is that Chris LeBron Cherry? The Chris LeBron Cherry?
No, it's just a Chris LeBron Cherry.
It's Chris Jamal Cherry.
Oh.
I can't keep it straight. There's too many Chris Cherries. I want the real ChrisCherry.com. Keep calm and wrestle on.
Goodbye and I love you.
Have a tasteful tuna.
Of wrestle on.
Tell me about wrestle on.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public Store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.